you would, please turn to Matthew. Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, please. When you get there, put your finger and lift up your Bible. So make our pledge before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I read the scriptures that I want to, right before the story I want to explain to you, before the story that I'm going to talk to you, Jesus was with a bunch of people. You might say, what kind of people? Well, he was with his disciples. He was with throngs of people that had come to listen to the good man. Some looked at him as Savior. Some looked at him as a great man, a good man, a Jewish man. You know, they just whatever. But a lot of them had come because they looked at him as someone that brought hope to them. A hope. And so as he was out there, the story in Matthew 13, it says that the people got hungry and he fed them. 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now that's a market. That's a market. To have 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. So you're looking at about 15,000, 20,000 people. To take 5 loaves of bread, breaking it up, giving it out to his disciples, taking 2 fish, breaking that up, and dispersing it out to his disciples. And they stand in front of the people, and they come, and everyone, all the men, the 5,000, all the women, and all the children, they ate till they were full. Now, you know, we go to restaurants and we eat till we're full. That's right. Especially if we go to a buffet. A buffet. Man, it's like we pile that food on and we know what we like, you know, from the fried fish to the fried shrimp to whatever else that's on that buffet. And we come out of there full. Just think of how full you are when you leave a place like that, to how these people, 15,000 to 20,000, could have been more than that, you know. That's just talking about, you know, if they were married and then maybe having 1 or 2 children. So you're looking at 20,000 people walking away full. Not only full of the physical part, but also full of the spiritual part, because they were taught the word of God. And you see, that's why it's so important to gather together to hear the word of God and let the word of God penetrate our hearts and our lives. Because as the word of God penetrates inside of us, it changes us and it makes us into what God wants us to be. And God wants us to be in the image of his son, like his son. Not that we will ever become the son of God, never. But he wants us to take on that persona, take on that image of his son. And we know, look, we can live to be 120 years old and still God will have to work in us because of the flesh, because of the sin nature on the inside of us. There is constantly God having to work, but constantly God is helping us to become more like him. And he's patient and kind with us. Thank God. Because you see, there's a lot wrong with each and every one of us. I mean, there is. Let's face it, huh? I mean, thank God we came to the realization that we needed God. We got born again. He came and he took away our sin and he cleansed our hearts and he filled us with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But there's a continual working of the Holy Ghost taking place in our hearts and in our lives. And Jesus taught these people. But then the next chapter starts something a little different. Look in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, starting with verse 22. It says this. Oh, wait, I'm on the wrong one. Okay. Matthew 14. It says this. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the boat, or the ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Finally, at one point, as all the people were leaving, he tells his disciples, and firmly, he tells them, look, get into the boat. Get into the ship. I want you to go across the Sea of Galilee into a town called Capernaum. And you know, the disciples, they had been with Jesus. They saw how he fed the 5,000. They saw the miracles that he did, all kinds of things. Well, they got into the boat and they started to go to the other side. And he expressed to them firmly that they were to do it. People, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit that's on the inside, will show you things, will convict you of things, but will show you what to do. It's not man that is your God. It's not a preacher that is your God. Now, God uses men and women and preachers because he set them in the church to lead the church in the right direction. But it's the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you, because you have received God, that will do a mighty work and will lead you in the right direction. But it will always comply with the Word of God. They were there. Jesus gets up after they fed all these people. They saw a mighty miracle. Praise God. Look, they were excited of what they saw. Can you imagine? And then Jesus gets up and it's only the 12 or so. And he tells them, look now, I want you to go to the other side. And let me tell you, when God speaks things to our hearts and souls, sometimes it's not too easy to understand. Sometimes it's not easy to follow through. Sometimes it's not easy to obey what God wants us to do. It's not. But he didn't, let me tell you this. Jesus didn't sit down and say, disciples, come. Let's have a meeting. Let's vote and see who wants to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and go to Capernaum. Let's take a vote. Peter, how do you vote? Yes, no, are you? You're not going to vote. You know, Thomas, how are you going to vote? And asking all of them. No. In the kingdom of God, there's no vote. In the kingdom of God, there's no vote. The Holy Spirit that lives and abides in you does not vote to see what you want to do or what I want to do. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us is God ordained inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit, but it's the part of the triune God, the third person of the Trinity, that lives on the inside of us, that comforts us on the outside of us. And he says, go to the other side. And then Jesus says, while you're going, I'm going to a mountain place to pray. Now, that's very important. Because we often think, And maybe I grew up with a theology that's just what we thought was right. Meaning everybody has theology, you know, what they think. But the most important thing is the theology of the Bible, because that keeps you on the right track. But sometimes, I guess, growing up, you just think, well, did Jesus really have to pray? I mean, he's God. Yes, he did have to pray, because he lived in a physical body. He didn't have the sin nature, okay? But he lived in a physical body, and he wanted to obey the things that God wanted him to do. And it says that he went up to the mountainside. As they were on their way, he was on his way to the mountainside, a secluded place. Which that tells me, people, if Jesus needs to pray and seek God, how much more do we? You might think you can get away with living a Christian life, and even I might think we can get away with living a Christian life without praying and seeking God, but it won't work. I'm going to tell you, it will not work. Jesus had to spend time with the Father to gain that strength from him, to gain the knowledge from him. How much more do we need to take that time to open up that word? My God, the written word. Can you, look, that Bible that, can I use your Bible? I was going to get mine, but that's, thank you. This Bible, reader's Bible, can you imagine from heaven, God pinned every word down. This is a written word for his people. Now, you can look at every other major religion. There are seven major religions in the world. They put Christianity in a category. I mean, that's just how it is. But every other one doesn't have a written word of the Word of God for them. How much should we take this word and consume it? To love this word. See, the enemy, he doesn't want you to open this Bible, because he knows the word of God will destroy him. It's the word that goes to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's the word of God that cuts the enemy to the core of his being. It's the word of God that strengthens believers. It's the word of God that brings relief to God's people. It's the word of God that brings encouragement. It's the word of God that just that instills the values of our God in us. The word of God. And hey, I understand. Oh, here you go. I'm sorry about that. I understand. Oh, every bulletin that we ever had. No, that's good. I'm messing with it. How much should we take the value and time to get that word in us? You might say, well, Pastor, I don't understand some things. Well, welcome to the boat. Who understands it all? No one. Some may have more knowledge of the word than others, and that's great. But you see, as you read that word and you get it in you, it's like God speaking to you. Like God speaking to you. Like God speaking to you. And it brings life to that spirit man on the inside. Fall in love with the word of God. Fall in love. Come on, people, you need to get this. Fall in love with the word of God. Get it in you. I don't care what you got to do. Put it on your phone. Have the word in there. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Get the word on the inside of you. So that when things come your way, the word of God, God can, by the Spirit of the Lord, he can take that word and bring it up. And that's what you do. Let the word become a part of your life, that it consumes every part of your being. Amen. Get it in you. Get it in you. Jesus took the time to go and pray. But it says as he was praying, the Holy Spirit quickened him on the inside. That just basically means told him something. He knew something wasn't right. And he said, something's not right with my disciples. People, that's a sermon right there. God already knows when things aren't right in us. Not that there's something wrong in us, but when we're going through something, God already knows. And he's making provisions for us already. See, as Jesus was praying, he was quickened by the Holy Spirit, knowing that something was going on with his disciples as they were at sea. He knew probably what would happen, but the Holy Spirit quickened him. And so he got up after he finished praying. Well, people, when we go through things, the Spirit of the living God is already working on our behalf. Already working on our behalf. And it says in Scripture that he started to walk out to the place where the disciples were. Now, for some reason, because he told them to go to Capernaum, they just happened to be on the water. He could have sent them anywhere else, but God knows where they needed to go. And God knows what he's going to do. Their faith had already been risen. Because they had seen already how Jesus fed the 5,000. They had already seen how Jesus had turned the water into wine at a marriage ceremony. They already saw how the lepers were healed and the blind were healed. Their faith had risen up. See, that's why as we call out to our God and God comes and does a mighty miracle in our hearts and our lives, how it builds the faith of us to believe God. Satan would try to stop the answers that God wants to bring because he knows that every answer that comes to us builds our faith in destroying the works of the enemy. He knows it. So as God answers our prayers according to his word, as God moves on our behalf and we see the miracle, power, working of our God, it builds faith in us. And we're able to believe God for the supernatural. We're able to believe God that he can do all things as the scripture says. Not just speaking it, but believing it on the inside of our hearts and lives. And let me tell you, it says in the next few scriptures, and we know this story backwards and forwards. But it says Jesus comes upon that scene and a turbulent wind was blowing against the boat. I mean, they were scared. You know how when hurricanes come our way, we believe God and we thank God for his protection. But every once in a while we get a little fearful, don't we? Come on, we're human beings. God knows. It's true. Certain things happen, we get a little fearful. Don't stay in that fear state, though. Get back to the faith in your God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it says that as he came upon the sea and the turbulence of the boat, the wind was blowing against the boat. And I mean, things were happening. And the 12 disciples, they were in this boat. They were saying, oh, they were probably thinking, did Jesus hear right? Did he hear right? Did he truly tell us and want us to go to Capernaum? Did he truly want us to get in this boat and go to the other side? You see, even when God tells us something and tells us to do something does not mean that everything will go hunky-dory and everything will go great. Doesn't mean. It will mean that storms may come, but Jesus is there. It means that winds may blow, but Jesus is there. It means that when we're going through things, even when we're in the right place, people, Because we often think, well, if we're not in the right place, things will come, and that could happen. But even when we're in the right place where God wants us to be, that God still allows things to come so we can make sure that we keep our faith in Christ. We keep our eyes on Christ. The direction of our faith is upon Him and Him alone. I heard a story of a man. He was a preacher man. And he said some things were going on in his life from someone else that was causing him some major problems, severe problems. And he said, you know, I knew what the Bible said to pray for our enemies. And he said, you know, I hated this man. The man wasn't a Christian from what I understood, but he was causing all kind of difficulties and problems for his ministry, his children, and just all kinds of stuff because of the things that he would do. And he said, you know, one day I would pray for him daily and pray for him. And finally, one day as he was praying for him, he stopped praying and he said, Lord, you know, I don't want blessings to come upon this man. I hate this man and I can't stand him. I wish you would kill him. I wish you would destroy him. That's how I feel. And all of a sudden it says the Spirit of God came upon this man and said, I understand. And this is what he told him. He said, treat this man like I have treated you. Let me say it again. Treat this man like I have treated you. Look, when I heard it, I'll be honest with you, I cried. Because I said, Lord, there's some people I can't stand. I mean, I'd rather not see them. You know, I just don't want to be with them. But I said, Lord, help me to treat them the way you have treated me. And we know God has been good to us. Huh? No one here lives in a tent. Everybody has a bed to sleep in and a pillow to lay your head on. Everybody has food to eat, thank God, and a lot more in the freezer. Praise God. And there's nothing wrong with having a lot of food. There's nothing wrong with having abundance. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with driving a nice car or a vehicle or a truck or whatever. There's nothing wrong with having a great job. God wants to bless His people just so these things don't have a tangle or a hold on us. And he, from that day forward, he started praying for him like God would want him to pray. People, we need to look at those things. And when turbulent times come and things are hitting against our lives, for maybe people or things or certain, we go to God and say, Lord, how do you want me to pray? And we treat people with the same respect and honor. Now, that doesn't mean you don't stand up for righteousness and what's right. But you stand up for what is right and righteous. And it says that Jesus was coming because his disciples were in trouble and they were fearful. The anointing of God told him to go. The presence of God. And he started walking on that water. Now look, just that's a miracle, people. Some people will say, well, that's not true. That didn't happen. Look, believe what you want. But I'll take the Bible any day. Any day of the week, any hour of the day, any minute of the day, I'll take the Bible. Because of what God has done in my heart and life, I know He's true, He's righteous, and He does not lie. He's not a one that says something one day and does something the next day. He's the same every day. He's consistent. He's constant. He's a loving God, yet He's a just God. And it says that He started walking on that water. And look, the winds were blowing against that boat. I mean, there was just turmoil. And as Jesus started to walk on that water, every step that Jesus took, it became calm. That's why we got to stay close to Jesus. It may be turbulent out there, but when we stay close to our God, It's peace. It's safety. There's no trouble. Now, there's trouble back there, yeah, all the way around. But, buddy, when you stay close, and every step he took, can you imagine, people? Every step he took, that wind ceased. Look, the powers of that be upon the earth, they submit to our God, willingly or unwillingly. Nature submits to our God. And every time he put his foot, became calm. And they saw him coming. They didn't realize it was him. They thought it was a ghost. They thought it was whatever else down the road. They got so scared, they didn't know what to do. But he kept coming close. Till finally, they realized that it's their Savior, is their God. And look, Peter, out of faith, said, Lord, if that's you, I mean, look, come on now. It's like he's putting God to the test. Who do you think you are? You know, like two people in a battle, you know, with swords. God, if that's you, bid me to come. And all Jesus said was, come. Come. Hey, look, that's our God, people. He will do. He will work. He will move on our behalf. He will, when faith comes, he will move. And look, and when the word came back, come, Peter knew that was his God. He knew his voice. He knew that it was his God speaking. And he took his one foot, put it over, looked down and said, pretty good. Took the other foot. That's faith, the other foot. See, sometimes we want to serve God with only one foot. One foot in the world, doing evil, not good, and one foot with God. People, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't have one foot in the world doing evil and speaking evil and doing all kind of stuff. You can't do it. You're going to be miserable because the God in you will make you miserable because you can't live with yourself. It's just not good. So you might as well just surrender to God. That doesn't mean you're perfect or I'm perfect. But we surrender to him and we say, Lord, from this day forward, I will do everything I can to have both feet with you and to live for you and to stand for you and to do what you want me to do. Can you? So he took that other foot and he looks down and his hand's still on the ship or the boat. He said, my Lord, look at this. And it's like a child learning how to walk. You know how they fall, they hit their heads, they hit their whatever, they have knots all over. They're hitting everything. They're falling everywhere. But Peter was learning how to walk on water, which no one else has done except Jesus Christ. And his eyes were upon him, and he took one step at a time, people. Oh. Can you imagine as he took that first step, he looks down and says, oh, my God. The miracle, the faith that was rising up, people. That's what God, every time God moves upon us, every time God, you see God move in your family, every time you see God answer a prayer, every time you call out to God and you cry in tears of anguish or heartache, and God comes in and wipes those tears and he puts joy in your heart, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. And he takes another step and he's saying, oh my God, I'm going to reach him. I'm going to reach him. And he kept looking to Jesus. And he kept looking and he kept seeing him. And his feet, he wasn't sinking. He was doing right. He was going in the right direction. And we know the wind was blowing. Just as every time Jesus took a step, the wind ceased. Every time Peter in faith took a step, the wind ceased. Not because of Peter, but because of the faith he had in the one that could cease it. That's a lesson that we need to learn. As we keep taking our steps of faith, and we know the story, and we know that after a while, he took his eyes off of the Savior, and the winds were blowing. The turbulent winds were coming. And all of a sudden, he started to sink. And he called out to God for help. And Jesus came and lifted him up. Jesus is a God that cares for us. He never wants us to go alone in a situation or a problem. When he became your Savior, he became your God, your defender, and your protector. He became your Savior, your God, your protector, your healer, your defender. Everything. And he pulled Peter up. And he says, come and stand next to me. And they walked on water together back to the ship. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. People, faith in our God, we need to keep on walking with him, keeping our eyes on him, and don't let the circumstances of life, because life can be hard. Huh? Life can be hard. Let's face, God didn't say that everything would be hunky-dory. Now, we paint the picture sometimes as we're witnessing to people. Oh, man, everything's going to be great. And that, yes, with God, it's great. But yet, life comes in. Great on the inside because God is working. But people, life is hard sometimes. Can you, when a woman has a baby, I mean, that baby comes out so innocent. So innocent. I mean, just, and you're thinking after a while, Lord, I hope things go well with this child. Because we don't know the future for everybody. We pray and we ask God for protection and love and help. But here we see we don't know the end result of things. That's why we need to pray. Because you see, the devil, it says in John 10:10, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, what? I've come to give you what? Life. And to have it what? More abundantly. Jesus said, I've come to give you what? And to have it what? More abundantly. You need to know that scripture, people. You need to get that in your heart. I know a lot. You know it. Some people don't like to speak up. That's okay. That's okay. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has come to give us life through the cross of Calvary and to have it more abundantly. And look, can you imagine the victory in Peter's life? Yes, he walked on water, and yes, he fell a little bit. Jesus came and raised him up, and they walked back to the ship. And let me tell you, when they got back to that ship, all eyes were on Peter. And Peter sat down and said, let me tell you the story, disciples. Let me tell you what happened. Look what happened. I know you might have saw a little bit, but I personally felt his hand. I personally felt him as he lifted me up and walked back with me. Look, when God touches us, we need to share what God has done. When God has changed the path of our lives, we need to share with people what God has done. He's the great creator. He's the great God of the universe. He's the God that will lift us up. And he's the God that will bring us down when we need to be brought down for our own good. But he's the God, people. Can you imagine? Peter, smiling from ear to ear, saying, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. How God can move, people. We just got to believe. Stand firm and let God move. You may feel like you're sinking in the sparrows of life. But let me tell you, God is there ready to pull you up and walk right next to you. Walk right next to you. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. You may stand, please. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Father, we give you praise and honor and thanks, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, please. Everywhere, please. Thank you. I appreciate it. I want to ask you a very important question, every one of you. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior? If you have not, or you're saying, Pastor, I think I need to do it again, whatever, would you please just raise your hand so I can see? Amen.